Support for this public radio podcast comes from KeyBank, focused knowledge, customized solutions, and the resources of an entire bank. Because the best solutions fit around a business's needs. More at key.com/corporate.
The Credit Crunch.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. This morning, we'll get a report on how much money Americans are making and spending. People have been using credit to pay for a lot of things, but those loans are starting to dry up. Banks are clamping down because of the problems in the subprime market. So where does that leave us? Marketplace's Steve Tripoli reports.
Wachovia Corporation chief economist John Sylvia says lending's already grown scarcer for one group.
Especially for consumers trying to get home mortgages, you'd say that the credit definitely is tighter than it was 6 months ago.
But Sylvia says home borrowers may not be the only ones affected if lenders keep tightening up.
To the extent that they are losing money in one type of lending, it may impact their ability to lend in other areas, and that again feeds through the entire society.
In other words, there could be less money for consumers and business expansion. Sylvia says regulators may tighten lending standards further to clean up the subprime mess.
To the extent that they become really aggressive, you have maybe a repeat of 1990, 1991, which could widen out to a broader recession.
Consumers shouldn't panic. The consensus now is that it won't get that bad. But most economists will also tell you the risk factors for a recession have been piling up. I'm Steve Tripoli for Marketplace.
Last week's big sell-off on Wall Street turned into a buying opportunity for investors yesterday. The Dow gained 93 points to 13,358. The Nasdaq put on 21 to 2583. The S&P 500 shot up 14 points to 1473. Most of the Asian markets had pretty strong gains today. In Europe, shares are up well over 1% so far. As you know, the U.S. wants Iran to give up its nuclear fuel program. One way the U.S. has been pressuring Iran is by getting banks to stop doing business with the Iranians. This morning we have word that the last two European holdouts, two big German banks, have finally decided to go along and cut off financing to Iran. Our European correspondent Stephen Beard is here. Stephen, how big of a deal is this?
This is quite a blow for Iran. Deutsche Bank and Commerzbank this year have become by far the most important financial intermediaries in Europe for Iran.
Yeah. Why did they wait so long? The U.S. and the EU have been trying to get these banks to stop doing business with Iran for quite some time.
It appears that the pressure has been too great. I mean, the problem has been trying to ensure that they don't handle any Iranian cash that winds up funding terrorism or financing the Iranian government's nuclear fuel program. And they've just decided that it's just too complicated and too difficult a process.
So if the last holdout banks in Europe are now caving under this pressure, what is Iran going to do for financing?
Well, the Wall Street Journal is speculating this morning that the decision by these two German banks could drive Iran closer to countries that are apparently more accommodating and less concerned about Iran's nuclear ambitions. China, Russia, and Venezuela, too. Now, of course, they lack major banks with strong global networks, but they do have access to a lot of American dollars from their oil revenue and probably could find other ways of doing business with Iran.
Okay, Stephen Beard, our correspondent in London, thank you.
Okay, Scott.
Now for something lighter, or actually maybe not. Guinness beer has about 200 calories in it. You won't find that info on the side of its bottles or cans in the U.S., but the government is considering requiring all alcoholic beverages to have labels with calories, carbs, sugar, alcohol content. Beverage distributors seem to be toasting the proposal. If it is approved, it'll be another 3 years before we see the new labels.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with Teach for America to help children in under-resourced public schools achieve academic success in math and science. TeachForAmerica.org.
Immigrant labor is a huge part of the restaurant industry. In New York City, restaurant workers have been getting more vocal about unfair treatment. Noisy protests have become almost commonplace outside some restaurants. But a bill before the city council would give workers another way to put pressure on the restaurant business. Elisa Roth explains.
Apolinar Sala sips coffee in a diner near his Bronx apartment. He came to New York from Mexico more than a decade ago. Since then, he spent a lot of time in restaurants, mostly on the other side of the kitchen door. In his first job, he says he routinely washed dishes for 9 or more hours a day, but only got paid for 7. By some counts, almost 15% of New York's restaurant workers don't make minimum wage. More than half say they don't get paid overtime. Advocates for restaurant workers say labor laws are rarely enforced, and when they're caught, restaurants get off the hook by settling with workers. Raj Nayak is an attorney with NYU Law School's Brennan Center for Justice. He's helping bring a bill to the city council that would offer another tool for enforcement. The bill would put labor law infractions on par with health code violations, like rat droppings in the kitchen. And violations would go up on the internet.
What this is saying is that it's not just a slap on the wrist. The city is actually watching, and the city can take this into account as it investigates your business practices and decides whether or not to grant
and
your license.
She is on the health committee.
Rajani Adhikari is an organizer with Rock New York, an advocacy group for restaurant workers that's sponsoring the bill. She says more and more workers' groups are using city ordinances creatively as a way to stand in for weak labor laws.
We can't keep servicing the individual folks who come through our doors. There's 165,000 restaurant workers in New York City, and for us to really get to a broad systems change for the industry, we'd really have to look at citywide policy.
She says the key to making those policy changes is organizing large numbers of workers who are prepared to stand up for their rights under U.S. law. And increasingly, immigrant workers in many industries are willing to do that, regardless of their legal status. But some say Rock's just rabble-rousing. Chuck Hunt heads the New York City chapter of the state's Restaurant Association.
Look, restaurants have no reason to want to not comply. In order to stay in business, they have to comply. But there are plenty of laws in place to do that already.
But Apolinar Sala says the laws don't work if they're not enforced. He complained to the Labor Department and finally settled with his restaurant. He was eventually promoted to cook. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
You can take the Marketplace Morning Report with you on your iPod or whatever device you want. Check out the info about podcasting on our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.